4CA, John McKenzie, 1300 872 911.
Well, I think most people, especially those who use the Caranda Range Road, have been aware of the dreadful inconvenience in recent times as a result of the collapses and the work going through the night, etc., and it's just been absolutely awful. Well, this is the history of the Caranda Range Road. The history's been absolutely awful. So here we go again. I'll just take this coverage from Tuesday's Cairns Post. It's under the heading Range Repair Works Extend. Claims signs undermined, the road quashed. I don't think too many people are convinced by that, by the sound of things. Peter Carruthers wrote on Tuesday, a Cairns engineer is convinced the installation of a $30 million high-tech sign system on the Caranda Range Road contributed to landslides. But Main Roads has dismissed claims that drilling and vibration are to blame for undermining the roadway. First announced January 22 under the Cairns Northern Tablelands Access Strategy, the Intelligent Transport System, that's what it's called, the Intelligent Transport System, is a series of electronic road signs designed to minimise the risk of crashes on the range by reducing the speed limit on wet and foggy days. Now, it goes on to say testing of the system began a week before the massive deluge brought by Cyclone Jasper, and soon after, huge sections of the mountain fell down the hill, taking sections of roadway with it. Now, a German expatriate with a lifetime experience in road and railway projects, this is Wolfgang Rusch, claims drilling to install the 18 ITS stations contributed to road damage that remains under repair. Last year, road crews installed 18 of these things that required the digging of 150 electrical pits, installation of 31 poles for CCTV cameras and speed limit signs, and 8 kilometres of electrical cabling between Smithfield and Rainforest Station. Images of the road damage have revealed exposed conduit and hardware associated with the ITS stations. But Main Roads stated there was no evidence the Range Road, ITS structure or infrastructure had increased the risk of landslips on the Range Road. Now, we knew about the emergency night closures between 9pm, 4am, allowing for reconstruction of the road. Those have been extended through till the 28th of March due to work progressing slower than expected. Interesting, isn't it? There's a little message there in the letters to the editor today, John Shambler. The range is already unstable material. Then dig trenches all the way up under the road and fill with sand, basically creating underground watercourses, says John Shambler. Look, I've just put a call through to a gentleman who's a retired civil contractor, 40 years experience on road construction and advocate for the Redcliffe Highway proposal, I must say, too. This is Greg Williams. Greg, good morning.
Yeah, good morning, John.
Listen to this. You've just listened to what the Cairns Post ran on Tuesday, Peter Carruthers, and it's quite extensive. I mean, there's quite a collection of things that could have had an impact on the resilience and strength of the Caranda Range Road. What are your thoughts about this article on Tuesday?
Well, I agree 100% with the fact that the trenching, more so than the tunnelling, just the boring, but the trenching where they've severed a whole big deep trench within metres of the edge of fairly steep edges of the road has definitely compromised the road. And it's evident that you can see where it's collapsed. And there's other evidence in other areas where you can see cracking starting, and I don't think we've seen the last of it yet.
Oh, my God. The point has been made to attempt to do something like this in the wet season, for a start, was likely to cause issues. Do you agree?
Yes, to a degree, but I think the damage is done, and the water from any wet season, even if you did it in the dry, I think the water could make its way into the compromised areas and cause it to slip. So I think it's just very, very, very poor engineering.
Yeah, not to have foreseen this happening. Is that the point you're making?
Yeah, I mean, common sense would tell you that if you dig a trench right beside the edge of a roadway, you're going to make it a weakened area, and that's exactly what's happened.
How much work would have to be done to restore its reliability, Greg?
Well, it's major because you've got to start from the bottom. And as you know, it's a very, very steep area. At the moment, the work they're doing is not repairing it. They're just protecting it from further erosion. They're using earth bolts and sprayed concrete, but that won't fix it. That's just to stop it eroding any further. And so the actual reconstruction of that area is an incredibly complex job that involves mainly an access problem of getting down there to rebuild it from the bottom up.
Meaning it wouldn't be weeks, we're talking months and possibly more.
Oh, absolutely. I don't think we'll see it repaired in months. And the interruption to the traffic because of it is horrendous.
Oh,
and,
exactly.
You know, these things were meant to make the rain safer. Mm. They've done everything but that. You know, they could have simply put an advisory thing at each end of the range to say, which they've already got with those big signs, warning people about wet conditions. Mm. And started off at 30 or 32 million, I think it's over 40 or 45 million now.
Wow.
And it's not finished.
Mm.
You know, it's just an incredible waste of money on something that's supposed to be a safety, an addition or a help for safety, but to me, it all has done is compromise the access to the tableland.
God. And this patch-up job, which it seemingly is, through, what is it, till the 28th of March, that might even be extended, but even if it isn't, you're going to say this whole matter has to be revisited in a much more pervasive and effective long-term way, and that could be months and possibly more than a year.
Absolutely, and that is that will be borne out. You'll see that happen. There's no way that can be repaired with a quick fix.
Mm. Greg, I'm glad that we're having this discussion because you're an advocate for the Redcliffe Highway proposal, which is an alternative to the Karanda Range Road. If this is virtually going to be a rebuild over a significant length of that Karanda Range Road, should we now be considering this alternative you've been working on for some years, this Redcliffe Highway alternative, and start planning that now and seeing the Karanda Range Road rebuild, not so much a rebuild worth probably hundreds of millions of dollars, but something to get through until the Redcliffe Highway might be completed?
Yeah, well, John, the $40 million, whatever they spent, could have been put to better use on the Range Road. But as far as the Redcliffe's concerned, it's going to take years to build it.
Is it? Okay.
And main roads are going to take years to plan it.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, they're saying we don't need it, which is absolute bloody poo-ha. But the fact is, the Redcliffe Highway would alleviate the pressure on the Range Road.
Mm.
It'd solve the problem of the Karanda Bridge.
Yes.
Well, not solve it, but take so you didn't have to have heavy transport going that way.
Yes.
They could go via the Redcliffe.
Yes.
And the Karanda Bridge could have a reduced tonnage and be safely used for a long time and still be a tourist and light vehicle, even light truck access.
Mm.
So it's imperative that we build that Redcliffe Highway. I mean, it's shorter, it's more economic, it'd be B-double accessible. There's so many points that indicate that would be a great thing for the region, and we can't seem to get anybody in the present transport department interested in it.
Mm. Now, in landmarks that we can relate to, what would be the connecting route between the Tablelands and the coast with the Redcliffe version?
Well, it leaves the existing Karanda Road around about Davies Creek.
Yes.
Where the long straight is.
Yep.
And it's almost dead straight then, apart from getting around the range area, but the majority of it, probably 70 or 80% of it, is almost straight and undulating country, very easy to build in. And it comes out on the western arterial access.
Okay.
So it would do two things. It would give a very, very good shorter route, B double route to Cairns and further.
Mm.
And it would also allow for a very safe escape route in the event of a cyclone or, something where people could retreat back up the hill easily on that road.
There you go. Just before you go, with this, well, virtual rebuild of the Karanda Range Road that may be necessary, I mean, are we talking about a kilometre, several kilometres? How much might have to be restructured altogether?
Well, I think it's not a great deal of length, but it's a great deal of magnitude because of the depth of where it's occurred.
Yeah.
Because anywhere where they've trenched, it's in cuttings or... it's not compromised because it's supported still. So anywhere where the trenching's occurred adjacent to a drop-off is vulnerable. And it might only be a couple of hundred metres, but it's going to be millions of dollars and months and months of interruption to traffic.
Oh, God. All right, Greg. Well, if that's the case, I mean, we've got to bite the bullet. This has been very comprehensive. We really appreciate your contribution today, Greg. Thank you.
No worries, John. I welcome the opportunity.
Yeah,
thank you.
We'll find others. This has been really, really helpful, getting a better understanding of the challenge ahead. Won't be very helpful to the hopes of people up there in the Tablelands who rely so heavily on ready access to the coast down the Karanda Range Road. This gentleman's name is Greg Williams, retired civil contractor with 40 years experience on road construction. Of course, he's an advocate, as you might have picked up, for that alternative access to the Redcliffe Highway proposal.